Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 17 this morning. Luke chapter 17. We're going to read verses 22 through 30 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. Luke chapter 17, verses 22 through 30. As you're finding your place this morning, in honor of the Word of God, would you please stand to your feet as we read the Word of God together? Luke chapter 17, verses 22 through 30, beginning at verse 22. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under the heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They shall eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also shall it be in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is revealed. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this sobering passage we just read. Thank you for the pastor that you've given us to come preach the Word of God to us. Help us to be a thankful people by listening to what you have for us individually today, so that we can hear what you have for us. Help us to be better for being here today and hearing the Word of God preached. And this can only be accomplished if the Holy Spirit fills us that listens, and especially the man of God as he comes and preaches the Word of God. Now, do a work in our lives and our hearts. Father, if there's somebody here this morning that does not know this Jesus, the Son of Man, I pray they would accept him as their Savior this morning before they leave or in internet land. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, it's very important you keep your Bibles open and follow with me in the Scriptures today, please. I'm going to ask you now to listen very carefully. If you have one of those Words of Christ in red Bibles, you'll see everything that was read today was spoken of by Jesus. And here's the thing. Now look at me. Here's the thing. Jesus just gave us a roadmap that explained what would happen. As it says in verse number 30, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Well, this is not talking about when Jesus was on this earth. This is Jesus talking about when he comes again. Now look at me. Christ's coming has been in three parts, or will be in three parts. First part of Christ's coming is when he came to his own. That's when he was born as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. We already know that has taken place. Christ came to his own. Then the second part of Christ's coming will be when Christ comes for his own. That's the promise of the return of Jesus Christ. And that return of Christ is in two parts. He comes for his own. That's when he's going to come and take the saved up off of this earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says that we sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. The trump of God will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which alive and remain are changed, and in an instant we're taken off this earth and up to heaven to be with the Lord when he comes for his own. Third phase is when he comes with his own. After a 7-year period of tribulation, Christ will return to this earth. And when he comes back, he'll come with his own to rule and reign from David's throne. Jesus Christ's coming, ladies and gentlemen, has changed the course of human history. Our calendar is even set by his coming. And here in this passage of Scripture this morning, you have a roadmap of Jesus saying, this is what it's going to be like just before the Son of Man is revealed. Now, it's very important to understand something. Nobody knows the day or the hour when Christ returns. That's very clear. It's in Matthew chapter 24. And whenever Jesus says no man knows the day or the hour, let me explain to you what that means. It means no man knows the day or the hour. It's as simple as the Bible presents it. People keep predicting the return of Christ. You cannot set a date. That date is in God's program. He will determine when that day takes place. So we don't know. You say, yeah, they thought that Jesus was coming 2,000 years ago. I mean, the disciples were standing there in Acts chapter 1 when Jesus ascended up before them. He went right back up into the clouds into heaven, and they stood there watching him, and they kept looking because they thought he was going to turn around and come right back. That's why the angels came and said, what are you doing standing here staring up? He told you to get busy, get busy. The Apostle Paul thought, he was certain, he felt sure that the Lord would come in his lifetime. That was 2,000 years ago. Even in 2 Peter, the Bible says people will come and scoff and say, yeah, where's the promise of his coming now? It's been 2,000 years since he left. But the Bible says 1,000 years with God is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. He dwells in the eternal realm. Time has no factor with God. But I can assure you of something this morning, ladies and gentlemen. As certainly as Jesus came to his own, he's going to come again. Oh, yes. And what we have this morning is a little 3-step roadmap to show you what it would be like just before Christ would come back and before it be revealed. And let me show you where those roadmap markings are. In your Bible, in Luke chapter 17, verse 22, it says, the days of the Son of Man. If you're like me and one of those heathens who write in your Bible, underline that. The days of the Son of Man. Look at verse 26. It says, the days of Noah. Verse 26. Look at verse 28. The days of Lot. And then he said in verse 30, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man revealed. 3 steps that lets us know we're getting close to the return of Christ. Look at verse number 22, please. He said, it would be like the days of the Son of Man. Listen, like the time when Jesus was here. Not the robe and sandal days. What it was like when Jesus was here. Now, what was it like when he was here? Verse 25 says he would be rejected of that generation. Like it would be when Jesus was here. Don't you think that when Jesus was here and he stepped up to Lazarus' tomb, had been dead for 4 days, and he said, roll the stone away. And they pushed the stone away and he said, Lazarus, come forth. A man had been dead 4 days, crawled out of there in his grave clothes. He said, loose him and let him go. And that man stood there very much alive. Don't you think people would have said, yep, that's Jesus, the Son of God, and everybody would have believed in him, right? Don't you think so? But the multitudes he fed, remember the bread and the fishes? And he fed 5,000 in one group and 4,000 in another, and the actual numbers were much greater, probably closer to 15,000 in one and 12,000 in the other. All those people sat there, and he had them all set down, and a little boy was standing there with a couple little fishes about that big, a couple little loaves of bread about that big. And Jesus said to the disciples, get some baskets and stand here. And he broke the bread and fishes and filled the baskets up. And all those people watching him saw a miracle take place right there in front of them. Don't you think somebody would have said, that's the Son of God? I mean, they saw it, right? They saw him heal the sick. They saw him raise the dead. 3 different occasions, he raised the dead. Lazarus was the one I spoke a moment ago. One of them was a funeral was coming out. A carriage with procession was coming out of the city of Nain. And a mother's young son had died, and he was lying on the funeral carriage. They were bringing him out to a burial place. And Jesus walked up and touched the carriage, and the kid sat up alive. Somebody should have said, I think that's Jesus, the Son of God. Don't you understand, dear people? These people saw amazing miracles in everything. In fact, the scripture goes as far as to say that if everything Jesus did was recorded, and that's 3.5 years of ministry, if everything Jesus did, the world could not contain all the volumes that would be written. There are dozens and hundreds of miracles Jesus performed. He would go into a village, and when he left, there was no one dead or sick when he left. That's better than Bethel. And so the truth of the matter is, it's incredible, isn't it? Doesn't it amazing? Doesn't it amaze you? That all these people saw all that Jesus did. And at the foot of the cross, there's his mother, a handful of godly ladies, and one disciple on his side. The rest of them are spitting and cursing at him and defying him to pull the nails out of his hand and come down and prove he's really the Son of God. Don't you understand that in his own day he was rejected? And he said, "In just before I come back, it'll be just like that again." And now what do we have today? The real Jesus is not well accepted. Now we got everybody making their own Jesus. We got people designing their own Jesus. They have their own particular understanding of Jesus. They have all this stuff. It's interesting to me that after all these years, we still live in the days of the Son of Man. The true Christ is not really accepted as well as he ought to be. Oh, we got churches today call themselves Christian churches and everything else. Yeah, but you got to get baptized to be a Christian. You got to join a church to be a Christian. And Jesus is not the person of salvation. And yet the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, and nobody comes to the Father but by him. So that's why there are all these religions. If you ever wonder sometime how come there are all these churches and religions, it's very simple. They will not accept the fact that the Bible teaches that Christ is the only way of salvation. They got to make their own way. And that's why you have all these religions. It's very simple. I don't know how you can mess this thing up about salvation. Salvation is very simple. The Bible even warns us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beware lest Satan beguile you of the simplicity that is in Christ. Salvation is that Jesus died for us and paid for our sins, dipped his soul into death, was in a grave for 3 days and three nights, dead. But after 3 days and three nights, he came alive and stepped up out of that tomb, raised his own body, by the way, stepped out of the tomb very much alive. And salvation is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ alone to save us. And now we live in a day very much like Jesus' day, very much. Because the majority of people will miss why Jesus came. If I asked you this morning when you left church today and you went out the door and shook my hand, I hope you will, when you go out the door here and shake my hand, and I was to ask you, why did Jesus Christ come? Why was he born of a virgin? Why did he live on this earth? Why did he go to the cross? Why an empty tomb? If I was to ask you, would you know the biblical reason for that answer? See, some would say, well, Jesus came to be a great teacher. He came to be a leader of a great religion. He came to do this. He came to do that. Jesus Christ, the Bible, Jesus himself said it in Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came primarily to be the Savior of our soul. And that's why there's no salvation in any other but Christ. So today, people are missing the day in which they live. They miss the purpose of Christ being here. Yes, he's an example for us to follow, but that won't get you to heaven. Please remember something. Morality will keep you out of jail, but it won't keep you out of hell. Salvation's through Christ, and you trust him, you get saved. Yep. It's like that day today. Who Jesus is not readily accepted. Look at verse 26. Then it mentions as it was in the days of Noah. Well, somebody in Kentucky has built an ark. Millions and millions of dollars to build this ark. It's in a little religious amusement park, I think. Now they're having a big controversy about, you know, some of the money was state-funded money and they won't hire certain groups of people and all that kind of stuff. You say, what does it mean, Pastor Johnson? It means somebody spent a lot of money to build a boat. Do you remember in the 70s there was a movie out about Noah's Ark? And some guys went up on top of Mount Ararat, which is in Turkey, and they found rooms and a portion of a boat up there on top of the mountain. Now look, we're not talking rowboat, folks. We're talking the Ark. Three stories, hold two of all the animals on the earth. Don't misunderstand that to mean every animal pair. It means two of the dogs, just those, no cats, they drown. And then you got the two of the that kind of thing. They found rooms up there, wooden rooms, and they found animal deposit inside those wooden rooms on top of Mount Ararat. They said, why don't they do it now? Because Turkey won't let them go up there because they're a Muslim country and they don't want anybody proving the Bible. But did that make you believe in the ark in the 70s and the search for Noah's ark? Here's what the days of Noah were. God came to one man who the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God gave Noah specific instructions to build an ark because a massive world flood was going to come, and that massive world flood was going to destroy every living person on this earth except those in the ark. Now look at me, folks. It's a baby that cries. You never seen one? It's all right. It's okay. Now look at me. The flood would come and destroy all those people on the earth, except those who were in the ark. And you know, it took Noah 100 years to build that thing, because it was Noah, his three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, their three wives, and Mrs. Noah, eight people. And for 100 years, they labored and built the ark. And the Bible tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. In other words, Noah told people while he's building the ark, a flood is coming. God's going to destroy the world. Problem. Up to that point in human history, it had never rained. There was mist on the ground to water things and don't rain. You know what that means? No floods. So you got this crazy old man over there building a boat, telling everybody the flood is coming, which they'd never seen. And only people who were in the boat were going to make it. You say, well, no wonder nobody got on that thing. They think the old man was crazy. The boy didn't know it looked like a fool. I mean, seriously. Then the animals start showing up. Then God calls Noah inside the ark. By the way, before God closed the door, it sat open for 7 days. Then the Bible says God closed the door in the ark and sealed it. Now you got this old man in there with his family and nobody else. And everyone's outside, no doubt, laughing, thinking this old man is crazy. He has lost his mind. As my Okie people would say, the cheese done fell out of his sandwich. You know what I mean? And then, what was that? It started to rain. After the door was closed. After the door was closed. And as it was in the days of Noah, Noah was giving them sufficient warning to let them know that something was about to change. And just like Jesus' day, they didn't believe him. But listen to this statement about Noah's day. And I'll just read you the passage if I may. And if not, I'll do it anyhow. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6, it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. Listen to this day of Noah. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. In the days of Noah, it was a violent day. So, well, there's always been violence on the earth, Pastor Johnson. You mean like now? Can you even watch the news anymore? You mean like now? People getting shot, sitting in their cars? You mean like now? People shooting people on the streets? You mean like now? You mean like ISIS running up and down the Middle East, cutting people's heads off, slaughtering? They are finding graves over there now in the Middle East of this Muslim group where there are literally tens of thousands of bodies piled in graves. You mean like now? As it was in the days of Noah, a land filled with violence. Violent day today, yes? A day that God is trying to give us some warning. You say, well, where's the boat, Pastor Johnson? No, we're not looking for an ark. What we're looking for is this, God's attention getting things in our lives to help us to understand something. Look here. Noah builds the ark. The door sits open. He's inside, and they're all out there laughing at him. Look at that crazy old man in that boat over there. And here a preacher's taking the word of God, preaching the Bible, telling people Jesus Christ is coming again. And they say, yeah, we've all heard that before. Like they saw Noah building that ark every day. He put another board on the thing. Did you see that? Look at that. That thing's getting big. And it was 500 feet long. It was huge. They laughed at the construction. They laughed at the old man. And they laughed at his warnings. Nowadays, we got churches, and all they're really interested in is just giving you a little massage, your ego, get you to church, come to church, a little giggle, a little laughy poo, pew, and get up and go home to our lives. And the truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, things cannot go on the way they are right now. They just cannot. Now, look, that's not just a message of doom. It's a call to people to wake up and realize something. Jesus Christ is coming. Had a time with my grandson yesterday, and my wife and a couple of ladies went and got something to eat, and the daughter Beth went with them, so I had the boy. His dad's in New Mexico. So I said, okay, bud, where are we going to dinner tonight? Of course, he wants to go to these nasty places, Burger King, Chuck E. Cheese. I said, no, we ain't doing that. So I give him a choice, one of three places. He chose Red Robin. So we go to Red Robin. We get something to eat. We get in the car. We drive off. I said, Joel, I'm thinking ice cream. He said, me too, Gramps. He's six. Me too. You got room for ice cream? He goes, you have room for ice cream? I got room. How about you? He goes, oh, I got room. Old people, look at me. I got room. Trust me. No, I got room. There's no question. So we go over to Dairy Queen, get some ice cream. You see, that doesn't sound really healthy. Well, then you take your kid and get him granola. We're sitting there in Dairy Queen eating ice cream, and I was just watching him eat. I begged God. I said, please, God, don't let anything happen to this boy. Please. I don't live in fear, but I live in the reality that this world cannot go on the way it's going on. It just cannot. We got people slaughtering innocent people all over the place. It's insanity. It's chaos. Okay? And I'm not trying to make you fearful today. I'm not trying to feel like, oh, no, here comes trouble. No, here's what I'm trying to tell you today. Here comes Jesus. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Ladies and gentlemen, when Noah finished and the ark was, the door was closed and it began to rain, I don't doubt, but they ran and beat on the side of the ark and desired to come in. But it was too late. See, just like in Jesus' day, they missed why he was there. In Noah's day, they missed where they needed to be. In the ark, not outside. Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Not in church, in Christ. Yeah, go to church, of course. But in Christ is salvation, accepting Christ as your Savior. That makes you ready for Christ's return. Then you are ready. Then you, the Bible says, you have everlasting life. You don't need to be working on it. You need to have everlasting life. So when Jesus Christ returns, the trump of God sounds, you go. That's 1/500th of a second, my friend, for Jesus to get from heaven to the clouds, call us up, return to heaven with him in 1/500th of a second. Now that doesn't give you time to do anything. You got to be ready when he comes, as it was in the days of Noah. Then verse 28. Then he talks about the days of Lot. Well, let's see. Now, Lot, you know, lived in the city of Sodom. Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's see what it says here in verse 28. Likewise also was as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. Can I ask you a question? Is anything wrong with what they did in verse 28 there? Eat, that's good, right? Drink, if you drink the right stuff. Bought, they just purchased things. That's not bad. Look here. They sold, that's good too, if you got something to sell. They planted, they builded. Hold on a second. Doesn't say, now you know, the city of Sodom is where the word sodomy comes from, or homosexuality. They roving bands of them paraded up and down their streets and committed unholy acts and all that kind of junk. Now look at me. But it doesn't say anything about that. What it does say is this. Lot in Sodom, as in his day, was this. People just went on with their life. It didn't say bad. It didn't say they got drunk. It didn't say they did anything immoral. It just said they just went on with their life. Hey, you know what they did? They built houses. That's not bad. They bought land. That's not bad. They sold things. That's good. What's wrong with all of this? Nothing except one thing. Then it says in the next verse, and then when God scooped up two fistfuls of hail and dumped it on those two cities, then it happened very suddenly, just like the door was closed in the ark and the first raindrop fell. It happened very suddenly that things changed very quickly. Now listen to me very carefully. Just before Jesus comes back, there'll be a day like his day where people are going to miss what it's all about, what Jesus is all about, why he came, salvation through Christ. They're going to miss that. They're going to miss that. Just like the days of Noah, they're going to miss the fact that there's been a lot of warning signs to let us know that there's something about to change, very drastically about to change. And just like it was in the days of Lot, people will just get caught up with buying, selling, living, and going on with life. And then things change very quickly also. Get the picture. Here it is. Jesus' return will happen, he said it in this passage, like a lightning bolt from one side to the other. Pow! Just that quick. Have you ever been out in a lightning storm out in the open where it's going to the lightning's going to hit very close to where you are? I still remember that time we were up there and playing golf up in the mountains, got caught in a lightning storm. Lightning bolts popped across the top of the trees while we're standing with metal sticks in our hands. It's pretty stupid. I still remember the hair standing on the back of my neck. You could sense that something was about to take place. Say, well, Pastor Johnson, I've heard you talk about Jesus coming again. Yes. Yes, 10,000 times yes. And do you know why? Because it could be today. Hasn't anything taught you recently how that life just kind of goes on, and then what happens? They fly airplanes into buildings in the Pentagon. And America's different after 9/11. Never been the same country after that. Just one event, look at me, just one event just affected and changed not only the history of our nation, the history of this, the direction of this world. That one event. See what that is? That's God saying, get ready, because there's something even bigger than that is going to take place. Bunch of people get killed and innocent folks get slaughtered and the world erupts into, what's this all about? And the truth of the matter is, it's all warning signs to tell us we're in that day right now. Not just any day, we're in the day right now. Not just someday, you're in the day right now. Jesus said, now the Son of Man is about to be revealed. Because it's just like when I was here, Jesus said. It's just like in the days when Noah built the ark. It's just like when Lot was here. And people just went on like there was no tomorrow when there wasn't another tomorrow after that. So what happens? Then, my friend, your pastor's here to tell you this morning, when things change suddenly, you must be ready for that change. You see, some people, I was talking with someone one day, and they said, I don't like it when you talk about the second coming of Christ. It scares me. And I said, it shouldn't scare you. That's what we call around here the blessed hope. The blessed hope. And soon appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we're not just looking to get out of here. We're looking to see him. And the truth of the matter is, Christ's return, his sudden coming and his certain coming and his soon coming. I'm telling you, these are very exciting days. Very exciting days. It's an amazing thing. I am amazed we get through another day, another week, another month. I'm amazed we're in the middle of the year 2016. I'm amazed we're this far down the path. I don't know. You say, well, Pastor, I've heard you even say that before. You've been preaching 33 years. You keep saying, I'm amazed we get this far. Well, I mean, how much longer can you keep saying that? Until the trump sounds, the dead in Christ rise first, then I'm not going to be amazed anymore. I'm out of here. How about you? Do you know Christ is your Savior this morning? Are you certain? Have you settled this thing of accepting him as your personal Savior? Now that makes you ready to go up. Number two is this. Are you ready to see him? See, we're not going to stand in front of our church when we go to heaven. We're going to stand in front of Christ. Christian, if Jesus comes today, the judgment seat of Christ is tonight. You, as a child of God, you're going to stand in front of Christ. He's not going to judge you heaven or hell. That's judged at Calvary. Here's what he's going to do. He's going to ask what you've been doing with the life I gave you. From that time you accepted Christ as your Savior till that moment. Now what's going on? What about that life? What have you done with the life I gave you? Too many Christians are going to just stand there and have nothing to say. You know why? Because they did nothing except stuff for themselves. I don't think he's going to be impressed with your iPhone 6, S, Q, or whatever it's up to now. What is it up to now? iPhone 7? Is it already up to 7? I don't know. I'm a phone nerd. Mine's got a crank on the side. I mean, I understand that. Somehow I don't get the impression he's going to be really impressed with the fact that we had a nice boat. And it's okay to have a boat, but I don't really think that's going to impress him a great deal. What did you do for Jesus Christ with the life that he gave you? What did you do with that life? Did it make a difference for the cause of Christ? Did you make any difference of salt and light where you live? Did you do something that mattered for eternity rather than just for right now? Did you waste your time just kind of floating around out there and just living and breathing? Is that it? We're going to live and die, and that's our whole life? Please tell me there's something more. There is. It's called the will of God, Christian. Get in the middle of that thing and live through it and for it as you go along in life. It won't affect whether or not you go to heaven, but it will affect the heaven you have. It'll affect your looking him in the face and hearing him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We don't have to do what everyone else does, but we have to do our best according to what God has given us. And I'm thankful this morning that that's all he's going to ask of us. You do your best for him. As it was in the days of